Okay, so we're talking about Ephesians 2, so let's just quickly read together. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses, the first 10 verses. And you, he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the power that now worketh in us, worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for in his great love wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for grace ye are saved, and hath risen us, has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't know what I can say about Ephesians 2 that hasn't already been said by our great forefathers of the truth. When you read Welch, when you read Bulliger, and you read Stuart Allen, and you read Oscar Baker, and Joe Watkins, and Jack Everly, and all the people that have put together great books about Ephesians, what can I add? Well, I'm going to try a little bit. We just heard from Barney in Ephesians 1 all the great things that was done for us. Where God blessed us, he had chosen us, he predestinated us, he made us accepted in the beloved, he redeemed us, he bonded toward us, he made unknown to us the mystery of his will. What did we do? This is all done by the will of God, by the work of Christ, by the witness of the Spirit. So then he comes to, and you. Exactly, but who are we? And you. So who is Paul talking about here? Who is he talking about, and you? Who is he addressing? Who is Ephesians written to? The saints in Babel at Ephesus. Well, in Bullinger's, in the Companion Bible, Mr. Bullinger gives a little introduction to Ephesians, and he says in his research that the original manuscripts did not have the word in Ephesus. So, could it have been Laodiceans? Because in Colossians, we have Epaphras, and he was working in Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis, and Paul had never been there. And another clue is, on the other side, the epistles to Philippians and Colossians and Philemon all have Timothy in the salutation, Paul and Timothy, but not in Ephesus, not in Ephesians. Because I think Timothy was in Ephesus at the time. So maybe it was to the Ephesians. Maybe it was to all the churches of Asia. Because I think the reason Paul wrote those over there is because the churches were being turned away from him. And Timothy was having problems in Ephesus with keeping control there. But how about and you? So he's writing this to us who, in Ephesians 1, as Barney said, who hoped and who believed and were sealed and acknowledged the mystery of the church and the doctrine. So, how do people who don't understand the mystery, how can they read these post-Acts epistles, especially Ephesians like this, and somehow make this apply to them if they're in the kingdom doctrine? How does this apply to them? It really doesn't. Somehow they try to, but it really doesn't apply to them. Because they don't acknowledge the mystery. They don't believe it. Never heard it, maybe. Never been taught it. So Paul is addressing those of us here, those maybe listening to this message, who believe the message and the doctrine of the church and the mystery of the church of this age. Now, then he says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I've read Welch, Stuart Allen, Oscar Baker, Joe Watkins, Jack Everly, and only Baker and Welch bring out the point that this should read, according to the Greek, that you, being dead in trespasses and sins, so you are dead to trespasses and sins. So it should read, so, and you who, being dead to trespasses and sins. Well, I have a way to resolve that conflict. I'm going to read it this way. And you, who being dead to trespasses and sins, speaking into ones who are already saints and faithful, who are already saved, wherein in times past, when you were dead to trespasses and sins, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also ye all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Remember our two ladies? If you look at this slide up here, you see a young lady or an old lady. And you have to flex your mind to see the other one. So, when you come to Ephesians chapter 2, you can read this a couple of different ways. Are these people who were in the time past, is this talking about way back when we were all under sin before we were saved? We were all there, right? I know I was. I know in times past, I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So, we can read it that way, as our lost condition, as a person, as an individual, way in the past. Or, if we are going to be if we're going to take a doctrinal position, we could say that I was saved, but I was in the kingdom program. I was going to church, but I was still walking according to the course of this world. I was still walking according to the prince of the power of the air, because he did not want me to know the truth of the mystery. I was still among those having conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and the mind. People now, most people worship in the flesh, right? And when I listen to Christian radio, and I hear the preachers preaching, they're talking about Jesus, 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 kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. But all their programs are about, and all their stories in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Gospels, all their stories are about the flesh. Right? They're talking about the family, the divorce, you know, this and that. It's all about problems with the flesh. If they would just know the truth and know where they really stand, I think a lot of those problems would go away. So, this section of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, are talking about the world, the devil, and the flesh. But by the grace of God, there go I. There was a time when I was a Catholic for 30 years and got saved and acknowledged the Lord as my Savior. And it made some changes in me. I was quickened in the Spirit, because then I had to change the way I was living. I had to throw out the alcohol. I had to pour it down the toilet. I had to throw away the beer. I had to get rid of the pinups and the stuff that I grew up in. I grew up in that environment. That's what people did. I had to change the way I talked. I had to change the words I used and not used. And so, by the grace of God, I would still be there. So, back to Ephesians 1. But if God hadn't done all these things in Ephesians 1, I'd still be where I was. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even we were dead in sins, or dead to sin, either way, he hath quickened us together with Christ. That is a different quickening than in Romans. There's a quickening of the Spirit in the Acts period. We are now quickened together with Christ. We are quickened together with Christ, raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is how we're going to get those spiritual blessings, as Barney said. We have to be in that position eventually, or even in our mind now. Our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I consider it being the present as well as the future. But this is the beginning of our spiritual blessings right here. Now this is the part in my previous church life people never quoted. They would quote verse 8, but they would never quote this about being raised together. So we are made to sit together, and this is a seat. This is a position of authority. This is a position of a governing body. Y'all live in a county where you have a county seat. And the county seat is where the county authority resides. Back in the Catholic Church, we had the chair, where the bishop sat. And that was a seat of authority. Ex cathedra. So we have a position of authority when we're seated together with Christ. We have been given a position of authority along with Christ. That in the ages and ages and ages and ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift. It is the gift of God. This is a whole different kind of salvation, folks, than what I ever heard of before. This is how salvation should be now. When people hear the word of truth, John's gospel, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're given everlasting life, then they should be saved and taught to go right into the mystery, into the church, which is His body. Where did this kingdom stuff come from? See, now we have to go back and fight this kingdom stuff because that's the lies that Satan told. So people ought to be saved today. If Paul had his way, this is the way it should have been done in Ephesians, is that when they heard the word of truth and they were saved, they should be right into the risen with Christ in heavenly places. So what is missing here? The kingdom. Paul didn't say anything about a kingdom here, right? This is one of Satan's big lies. Oh, the kingdom program's still going on, right? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. That's what you hear. But Satan gives away his secrets. You might have heard this recently. Tell a big lie. Tell it as often as you can. Tell it to as many people as you can. It will be best to believe it as a truth. That kind of got out with Lenin. And that kind of got out with Hitler. And Hyatt Gobel. These are the guys on Satan's team. And you're going to see it today in our politics. What's going on in our nation right now? This very thing. So that's what's happening. This is what Paul is fighting against in his ministry now. Paul wrote this Ephesians 2 here, this salvation, as though Acts never happened. He's out here now telling these people, here's how you get saved, here's the program. But what about Romans? It never happened. Forget it. It's gone. It's been set aside. What about 2 Corinthians? Forget it. It's gone. It's never happened. By grace are you saved through faith. Why are you in the body of Christ? Why are you in this body? Because of your faith. You believe it by faith. It takes faith to believe in an individual, belong to an invisible church. It doesn't take a lot of faith to go down here and belong to this church down the street. It takes a lot of faith to belong to an invisible church, a spiritual church. It is the gift of God. You are here tonight, you are listening to this message because you have been given one of the most precious gifts God could ever give a person. It's salvation by grace into the body of Christ. And the word for gift here, 1435, is doron, which means a sacrificial offering. Somebody paid the price for this gift that he gave us. It's not of works, not anything we did. Remember Ephesians. He chose us. He predestinated us. He accepted us. He blessed us. He did it all. I didn't do anything except believe. Lest any man should boast. Sorry, I slide my teeth out. What a gift. Although this verse is often quoted in the churches out there, it does not apply to their basic salvation. This is a whole new level of grace. This is a whole new level of faith. This is a whole new level of salvation. How many people have lived on this earth from the time of Adam? And how many have ever made it to verse 4? But God. How special are you? It's heart-wrenching to think how few people have gotten this far. And how special we are. Amen?
Amen.
Because we are His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not by works, but unto good works. What are good works? Studying His Word, learning the truth, making all men see the dispensation of the mystery. God hath before ordained these good works that we should walk in them. So now Ephesians chapter 2 is broken into two sections. The first section we just went through, verses 1 through 10, are a section on the individual, their spiritual status of the individual. The next section we're going to cover briefly is a dispensational section as a group. So I'm going to read now verses 11 to 22. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, and having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the wall of partition between us, the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the entire enmity thereby. and came and preached peace to you which are far off and to them which are not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation and apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Now there's some pretty deep stuff in that section, and we're not going to touch on it all today. We could spend a whole conference on this section here. But one thing we can see here is that everything that made Israel distinct has now been made available to all. So Paul here is taking us back to the cross like Acts never happened. He's taking us back to the cross, and here's what happened. We're still strangers to the covenants, okay? But when he went back to the cross, all these things happened. We were made nigh. We were far off. We were made nigh by the blood of Jesus. When did that happen? At the cross. For he is our peace at the cross. He had made both one at the cross. Had broken down the middle wall partition between us at the cross. He rent the veil at the cross. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, he nailed those to the cross to make it himself of twain, one new man. He created one new man. This is not an evolution from the Acts period. This is a new creation. So people, if they don't believe in evolution, shouldn't teach it. So, and he might reconcile unto God both in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were not. And this he did during the post-Acts period with his apostles and prophets and teachers. And through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father at the cross. So now we are no more strangers. We are no more separated. We're not foreigners. We are fellow citizens in the heavenly places, in the house of God. We are part of the family. Right? So what happened to idolatry, Paul? Remember in Romans? He probably wrote this in Rome. He's probably sitting right there at the Roman church. He wrote the epistle to Romans to. So now, what happened to the olive tree? Never happened. It's gone. Axed to the, taken to the roots. This all took place at the cross as though the Acts period never happened. So, keep this simple and conclude with this, that in the spiritual part, verses 1 through 10, that's a new kind of salvation, baby. It's a new kind of salvation. And verses 11 through 22 is saying this is a new kind of body. A new kind of salvation, a new kind of body. So I hope that that's a little different look at Ephesians chapter 2 that maybe you've read in Welch and Baker and others. But there's more detail than that you can study and go through. We're not going to touch on that tonight, but let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these brief words of truth on Ephesians chapter 2. We just thank you for your new kind of salvation. We thank you for your new kind of body. We're glad to be chosen and be members of this body and salvation. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We could never thank you enough. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.